Welcome to the World of the Future podcast. I'm Michael Kaduk. In this series, we will examine the continued importance of science fiction in our modern world. More than just what-if questions about technology and fantastical worlds, this will examine the important themes of these stories and how they fit into our modern cultural and political landscape. Science fiction has had many stories criticizing the concept of some people being superior to others, but there are cases in which disability is either ignored or unintentionally vilified in many science fiction villains. But there is a series that critiques these ideas head-on, both from the way they influence those who intend to help, the way that the cruelty of institutions creates damaged people hard to reason with, and the most vile aspect of eugenics replicated in mercy killings and human experimentation. Allow me to introduce you to the series that analyzes the treatment of disabled people in a subtle and scary way, Planet of the Apes. I'll be covering the new trilogy of movies specifically, and one theme present in each of the film that argues my point across, eugenics. To start, I'm going to analyze the way that the apes are forced to depend on humans and each other to communicate. In Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the main character, the chimpanzee Caesar, is born from experiments performed on his mother via gene-altering drugs meant to serve as a cure for Alzheimer's, which gives him heightened intelligence. Caesar quickly is able to understand more complex words via sign language, which convinces his caretaker Will Rodman to treat his father's Alzheimer's with the drug. But not everything is as bright and happy as it seems. Will obviously loves Caesar, but he only took care of him so he wouldn't be euthanized by his superiors. Caesar might be intelligent, but simply due to the fact that he's different, people treat him differently. Due to the fact that he can't speak at first, he's forced to rely on sign language, which is taught to him by Will. But Will and his father are the exception to the rule among the humans, as when he ever tries to go beyond his house and act like a human, he's beaten by Will's neighbor, kept on a leash, and when he tries to defend Will's sick father from being harassed by that same neighbor, he's punished and thrown into a cage. In the Sanctuary, Caesar is abused simply for trying to display some agency. The Sanctuary's abusive caretaker Dodge Landon violently hoses him simply for playing a joke, and then shocks him with a taser when he refuses to be locked in his cage. He's called all sorts of insults to keep him afraid of those in power. Even the other chimpanzees treat Caesar badly, with the dominant male Rocket humiliating him because he acts differently. What does this have to do with eugenics? Well, there is a lot to unpack. Eugenics, as originally described by Francis Galton, is a brief word to express the science of improving stock, which is by no means confined to questions of judicious mating, but which, especially in the case of man, takes cognizance of all influences that tend, in however remote a region, to give more suitable races or strains of blood a better chance of prevailing speedily over the less suitable than they were otherwise would have had. This is one of the hallmarks of eugenics. The idea that using scientific modification and specialized crossbreeding to produce a superior being. In the movie, while Will Rodman might love Caesar like a son, he still performed unethical experiments on him and his mother for solving an unsolvable problem via genetic alteration. Creating a cure for Alzheimer's was a noble goal for Will to accomplish, given that it's a terminal illness that causes its victims to suffer. The testing of chimpanzees' intelligence to simply create a superior form of human is not only unethical, but disturbing. Even though the movies are works of fiction, the way the highly intelligent apes are treated is very similar to the way that people with intellectual or physical disabilities have been mistreated by society, be it experiments in labs not unlike the Genesis Corporation in the movie, or violent abuse in asylums not unlike the Ape Sanctuary, or even with parents and guardians who forcefully hold disabled children back from exploring the world out of fear of abuse. Even worse, in the movies, the drugs that make the apes super intelligent create the simian flu, which ends up killing off most of the human race. Even when Will finally gets the opportunity to have Caesar back, Caesar refuses to go home because he knows he'll go back to not having any agency to make his own decisions, due to Will thinking he needs him. it's no surprise that the only person who helps Caesar in his development and maturing as a person is Maurice the orangutan, who teaches Caesar that being an ape is not a problem. It's not something to be ashamed of. Maurice being an orangutan from a circus is not only a testament to how he was taken advantage of by society, but it could also be a nod to how disabled people were put on display as circus freaks. But despite this, Maurice still helps Caesar. And it's only when Caesar stands up against this system that intentionally disables him from having a normal life that he's able to break free. The idea of a group of highly intelligent talking apes escaping from captivity is something that terrifies people, the same way a breakout from an asylum would. But while these escapes are violent, they are meant as a form of resistance against a society that is designed to disable such individuals. But nonetheless, such stigmas surrounding people with disabilities, particularly mental ones, continue to exist, with many being viewed as dangerous simply for having their condition. Whereas the very few violent actions taken by mentally ill or disabled people are as a result of the evils inflicted within institutions. In Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, we see a different, more realistic component of Francis Galton's research, nature versus nurture. In the movie, Caesar still carries on the painful memories of being a prisoner abused by humans, but he and the majority of apes chose not to fight against the humans in spite of that. Going back to Maurice the orangutan, he says at the beginning of the movie to Caesar that he only knew the terrible things humans could do while he lived in the circus and the sanctuary. But he doesn't let that hatred get to him, and he even makes a meaningful connection with humans while talking to Alexander, the son of the human character Malcolm. He even learns how to speak through Alexander choosing to meaningfully connect with Maurice through reading comic books to him, helping him better integrate into a world where apes and humans could potentially coexist together. But there is an exception to this, however, which is Koba the Bonobo, the movie's primary antagonist, who is unable to let go of his violent tendencies and hatred for humans. But this is tied into nature versus nurture in an important way. In Rise, Koba was shown from the start to have been a victim of torture and abuse at the hands of humans in labs. So much so that he had scars all over his body, even on his face and left eye. When being subjected to the experimental drugs that made Caesar and the other apes intelligent, this only made Koba even more internalize the abuse and torture he suffered. In an interview with Wired magazine, Dr. Tara Stowinski, the president of the Dian Fossey Gorilla Fund, described Koba's aggression as unnatural.
What's really different about the way that Koba is portrayed in Planet of the Apes is it's very unbonobo-like. Where we see more striking differences is in their behavior. So he's a very aggressive individual, and in actuality, bonobos are really considered kind of pacifists. Really, it's chimpanzees in the wild that have the more aggressive personality that you see being portrayed in Koba.
The mere fact that Koba is a bonobo, a species typically shown to be quite docile, becoming as violent and aggressive as he was in the movie, is a testament to how brutally he was mistreated as a lab subject. And it serves as a great component of the nature versus nurture idea, as Caesar is a chimpanzee, a species that is considerably more aggressive and violent. But this also ties into the societal stigmas that continue to pervade societies surrounding people with disabilities who need caregivers for support, as Koba accuses Caesar of letting his past adoption by a human blind him to the potential dangers that humans could still pose to the ape colony in the movie.
Caesar loved humans more than apes. More than your sons.
This insult against Caesar is not only an insult against him as a father, but as a person who needed to rely on a human to care for him. And this eventually leads Caesar later to find a videotape of Will, who had passed away before dawn, taking care of him, helping Caesar try and remember that not all humans were evil like the ones who abused him. But Koba doesn't see humans as anything else, and inadvertently validates humanity's fear of the apes when he leads an angry mob to attack the human colony in the movie, which leads to the events of the third film. In War for the Planet of the Apes, we get the most clear references to eugenics in its worst form. The film's villain, the Colonel, played by Woody Harrelson, is motivated to wipe out the apes to total extinction because of a disturbing revelation. The simian flu, born from the drugs that made the apes intelligent and killed off most of the human race, had mutated. Instead of killing its host, it causes them to become mentally handicapped. They can't speak and lose some of their ability to form complex thoughts and decisions. What the Colonel is scared of the most is if this mutated flu spreads, humanity would lose its status as the dominant race, living a torturous existence of being perceived as an inferior one. So he is determined to ensure that humanity maintains its supremacy, no matter how many apes or even infected humans have to die. The military base where his soldiers imprisoned the apes is a clear nod to the concentration camps used by the Nazis in World War II. The Nazis were heavily inspired by the eugenics movements in the United States, which originally saw people with physical and mental disabilities being sterilized to prevent the spread of their condition. The Nazis took it to another level by kidnapping people, typically children with disabilities, to labs where they were experimented and killed. But what really stands out in the movie is that the Colonel tells Caesar that he was willing to kill his own son, who had become infected with the mutated simian flu, out of fear that his son's suffering would continue for the rest of his life and that others would suffer if it spread.
I held that gun in my hand for a long time. I pointed it. My only child. He looked at me, trust in his eyes. Even in his primitive gaze, I felt his love.
This also marks another scary reality about oppression against disabled people. The idea of mercy killings, the belief that a handicapped person would be better off not living at all than living a life of perceived pain, is a hotly debated topic, bringing up cases like the Robert Latimer case in 1993, a man who killed his daughter who had cerebral palsy. This idea not only takes away the life of the person who struggles with the condition, but it prevents them from ever being able to function in a society adapting to it. Against the Colonel's ideology of supremacy and mercy killings, Maurice the orangutan helps change our perspective when he helps Nova, a little girl who lost her ability to speak due to the mutated simian flu. While Caesar doesn't want to help her, believing her to be a burden to be left behind, Maurice chooses not only to save this girl, but he helps her regain her ability to communicate and some of her higher thinking. The Colonel was wrong in believing that killing the infected was merciful, because in the end, though simply doing the difficult thing and helping Nova, she regains what she may have lost before. And Nova uses that same compassion shown to her to save Caesar even when he killed her father in self-defense. Her ability to feel compassion and do the difficult thing saves him, and thus, Caesar is able to accept that in spite of all the evil humans and apes are capable of, no matter what their condition, there is worth in anyone. As an able-bodied but autistic person, I know what it feels like to be different. I have never been experimented on by people in power, but I know what it's like to feel trapped and forced into being part of a community that requires special help. I know what it feels like to grow attached to the worst experiences you may have, being looked down upon by others who intimidate you with their physical strength and threats. I also, however, know the dangers of becoming bitter and resentful to those who put you in that situation, or who put others in a worse one. It's easy to feel ashamed of needing special help, or to think that death would be better than living with your condition. But it is not. You deserve to live with agency. You deserve to feel like you are worth something. And you should never forget that there is good in others, especially those who want to help you. I still struggle with it, but I'm grateful for the fact that in spite of the fear of me not being worth anything, I understand that I am worth something, and that I can't do it alone. Like Caesar tells Maurice and Rise, apes alone are weak, because apes together, strong.